We know that God causes everyone to work together for the good of those who love Him. But what does that look like when life is hard? What does that look like when there's crisis or when serious illness or tragedy happen in life? When the sort of things referenced in that skit happen in your life, where is the goodness of God? Now, you don't have to worry this morning. Nothing that those people said in the video is actually true of them. You don't have to worry about Randy's mom or that Jessica actually has cancer, as far as I know, and those sort of things. But maybe you know people who are going through those kinds of situations. Most of us have been through something like that in our life, or we know someone who's close to us who's currently going through it. And maybe we hear things like, I'm so angry with God. I can't believe in a God who would let such and such happen. Or maybe a fellow brother or sister in Christ says to you, didn't God promise to protect me from this thing? Didn't He say if I followed Him, this wouldn't happen to me? There's many ways to talk about this issue, but the truth is we all struggle with tough things. Crisis, struggle, evil. And there's multiple questions, I think, that we want to talk about when it comes to this issue. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph again this week. And we're going to see, I think, very practical advice for what to do when life is hard. What to do when life is tough. What to do when it doesn't go the way we planned it, or we feel like maybe God has deserted us. But before we go there, I want to answer the question, or at least discuss the question, why? Because that is the question so often that comes up with our friends and neighbors. Why would God allow these sorts of things to happen to people? Why do bad things happen to good people? To do that, I want to use the illustration, as I so often do, of a movie. There's a movie called I, Robot, which maybe you've seen. And I like it because it's one of those dude movies where stuff blows up. I said that before, but that's what I like about it. So I, Robot is a movie, and it's basically about a point in the world and society where we have gotten so advanced technologically that now everything that we don't want to do, pretty much, is controlled and run by robots. So they protect us, they do all the menial jobs and cleaning around the house, they run our factories, and we're able to live more or less the kind of lives we want to live without having to worry about any of those sort of things. To control all these robots is a giant central intelligence person, computer, that sort of sends out commands to all these things. Well, one of the commands is that humanity is to be protected, that we are to be just kept from harm. So the crux of the movie is that the computer has decided the most safe environment for humanity is when they can't interact with each other because we hurt each other. And so it goes into this mode of keeping humans from other humans. And the robot has decided that is the safest, best way to accomplish its goal of providing a safe environment for humanity. The two culprits of the robot world are freedom and love, right? The computer cannot feel either of those things. It's compelled to act according to the way it's been designed. And likewise, it limits the freedom of the people under its rule. God could have designed and created a world that functioned a lot like the robot world. If God had wanted to create human beings that did everything that He wanted, that chose Him only, He could have done that. But I'd ask the question, is it really a loving and a free world filled with beings who, as Scripture says, are in His image and likeness that are able to somewhat convey the qualities of God? If I took a person and I said, you will do everything I tell you, no matter how you feel about it. You will always serve me. Everything that I say you will do. And there will be no exceptions. Or if I built a robot and I had it do everything I wanted it to, would you ever categorize that relationship as one of love or as one of care? No, we would know that, right? If I did that with a robot, you would not call it, or you'd call me crazy, but you wouldn't call it love, right? For God to create a world in which we could choose to love, in which we could choose to express those desires toward God of following Him, of friendship, of things which He designed the garden to be, we had to be able to choose those things freely. The The consequence is we could also choose not to. We could also choose not to follow him. And in some ways, we all do choose not to follow him. Some of us in small things, some of us in very major ones. But ever since the beginning, since the fall in Eden, when Adam and Eve made that choice for humanity, all of us, to some degree, live in this world in which evil things now happen because we are separated and choosing to go against the Father. There's much to be said on the topic, and maybe you need to come to Life Group this Wednesday and spend hours with Pastor Mike debating all the ins and outs of why there's evil in the world. But the truth is, love could not have existed if God did not create us to be able to choose him. The consequence is he provided the opportunity to choose the other. Now, whether you believe that or not, or struggle with that answer or not, or have many others, the question still for you is, but what do I do? Maybe I'll never understand why, but what when trouble comes, when life is hard, when bad things happen? What do I actually do? That's what we want to look at the life of Joseph for, because I think it's incredibly helpful with some very practical things that we can do when life is hard. So we're going to start in Genesis 39, right where we left off. Last time, we finished in verse 18. We're going to read from verse 19 and forward in Genesis 39. To recap, we're going to look sort of at the entire life of Joseph. And we know so far, leading up to this passage we're going to look at today, Joseph was born. His brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. Remember that story if we grew up learning it as kids? He went off to Egypt. He ends up being a servant in the house of a very rich man. He works and works and works, gets himself to a very good position in the man's house. And then the man's wife, we talked about this last week, decides to try to get Joseph into bed with her. He refuses. He runs away. She accuses him of attacking her. And now we find ourselves in verse 19 with Potiphar's wife having told Potiphar what happened. So reading from verse 19 on, it says this: Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. Of course, all fabricated, we know. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. The first thing I want us to see from this little snippet of Joseph's life is that faith leads us to serve God when life is painful. Faith leads us to serve God when life is painful. This is probably one of the worst moments in Joseph's life. He's had two of them that are very obvious to us in Scripture as we read. Being sold by your family to some traveling slave traders, not a good moment in your life. That's a tough time. Being in a new country by yourself, that's a tough time. Then being wrongly accused and in prison for a very long period of time, not a good time. If anyone had the ability to just sit in the corner and moan and complain and whine about why me, God, how could you let this happen? Because as far as we know, when we read, Joseph was pretty faithful, right? The more we read of his story, we don't read anywhere that he was doing anything. I'm sure he had his problems, but we don't read anywhere that he was doing anything unfaithful to God. He was following and serving, but yet his life continues to have some tragedy. If anyone had the ability to sit and complain and whine and cry to God about what was going on, it was probably Joseph. You could make the argument in Scripture Job might be another, but I think Joseph has a good claim on that title. But instead of doing that, what does he do? In every situation, he serves. He finds places to continue to be of service to God in what God wants to do in each of those environments. From being in the house of Potiphar to being in prison, he continues to find opportunities to serve God and to serve those who are around him, whoever it is. As we keep reading, in the next chapter of Genesis, we see that that's when he goes on to interpret the dream of the cupbearer and of the baker, continuing to say, I'm in this place, how can I serve God while I'm here? You have dreams, I know the God who can interpret them, tell them to me, I'll do what I can. He continues to serve as life is hard, and it's not like it's a short period of time. right? We think maybe it would have been fine if it was just a couple months, God. We know from reading that Joseph was at least in prison 2 years, and it says even more than that, he was there for quite some time before the 2 years. So it could have been 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years that Joseph is faithfully continuing to serve despite where he finds himself. Faith leads us to places where we serve in spite of pain. There's a man named Nick Vucic, whose last name I can't say, but he was born with no arms and no legs. Born with no arms and no legs. No medical explanation for exactly why this happened. Maybe they do now. He's a little older than me, so maybe they've come to some explanation for why since that time. But can you imagine the hardships in life that come if you have no limbs at all? He says if that weren't enough, he recounts being bullied, feeling rejected by his peers, even skipping school to avoid having to deal with anyone else. But all that changed for Nick because he came to realize that God had given him an opportunity through all that was going on to serve and to be a witness for the love of God. Now Nick travels to schools and orphanages and prisons and churches and even stadiums full of people to share the love of God with them as he hops up on the table with no arms and no legs. He's found, even in the midst of pain, a place to serve God, and he has shared the love of Christ with millions of people in approximately 20 countries. Even more as he's continued to do it, God, which just blows my mind, has been even more faithful to him. He's now married and has a kid. I'm sure it's not rosy. I'm sure it's not easy. But he's found a way to serve despite the pain of life. I don't know what situation in life you might be in that's painful, but I encourage you to find that place that God might have you in it, just like Joseph, to serve and to grow his king in that place. Faith leads us to serve when life is painful. Second, I think we see that faith leads us to trust in God's faithfulness. Faith leads us to trust God's faithfulness. I think Joseph trusted, if he continued in faith, that God would prove himself faithful again, that he would not desert him or leave him, but he would continue to prove himself faithful. And we see if we read Scripture closely that God continues to do that in the life of Joseph. While his outside circumstances might be tough, God continues to prove himself faithful. Twice, just in the verses we read, we see that even in the midst of this tough time, God was there with Joseph faithfully. Verse 21 says, "The Lord was with him." Yes, he was in the midst of a tough time, but God was faithful. God was there. He shows him kindness and grants him favor. And then just two verses later, verse 23, the Lord again was with Joseph and gave him success. Joseph served in the place he was, and God was faithful to walk alongside Joseph as he did. He was faithful to be there. He was faithful to come alongside. It didn't get Joseph out of jail, but it provided for him the assurance that God was with him. There's a story told of a young girl in China who was, I believe, just a sophomore in high school at the time. It got a summer job working at a place a little further away from her hometown. She had to walk a couple miles to get there. And just at the beginning of summer, as she was working to try to raise money for the next year and actually saving up for college, she was kidnapped on the walk to this place. She was taken to captivity, and for 8 months, no one knew where she was. Elizabeth says she prayed every night for God's deliverance, even as those around her mocked her prayers. And 8 months later, she was rescued. They found scribbled above her bed these words from Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" After she was rescued, they asked her to share the verse, and she declined because she said, "I'd rather share this one. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me." Elizabeth, Joseph, clung to the promise that God would be faithful. Even in the tough times, neither of those people had easy times, and I'm sure there are times in your life that aren't either. But God promises to be there with you. He promises to be at work no matter where you find yourself. Do we do the same thing as Joseph and Elizabeth when we find ourselves in trouble? in difficult times? Do we turn to God in those moments, trusting that He's faithful, that He never changes, that He is near, that He is righteous, that He is at work? Faith leads us to trust in God's faithfulness. And third, I think faith trusts that God will work things for our good. Faith trusts that God will work things for our good. We read Romans 5:28, and what we want it to say is God works good things for me. That's what we want it to say. All the things that happen in my life, I think that verse, or I want that verse to say, will be good. I will like them. I will enjoy them. But it doesn't say that. It says in all things. It doesn't say what kind of things. They might be tough things. They might be easy things. But God works through all of those things for your good. Joseph could never have seen how all the pieces of his life would come together. He could never have seen how God would take this unfolding story and launch him to a place where within a couple years, he is the second highest man in the nation of Egypt. He could never have dreamed that God could have done that. But God worked through the situations of Joseph's life to lead him to that place. Faith promised that it would all work for Joseph's good. But here's the other thing. Our good in the verse is not always what we want our good to be. Sometimes we think we know what is for our good, but it's not exactly what God thinks is for our good. We like to think that our good means we will enjoy the results, and we may. We may enjoy them. But often God uses situations in our life that we would call tragedies as places to mold and shape us and to grow us to be more like Him. That the our good part is actually to grow to be more like Christ, not to enjoy the result. We might not end up ruling Egypt. We might just grow to be more like Christ. There's a story of a moth, emperor, some kind of moth. And a man found the cocoon of this moth still all wrapped up as he was hiking. And as he found it, he thought this was really neat, so he snapped the twig off and took it home because he wanted to watch this moth come out of his cocoon. And so he's taking it home and he's watching very carefully, and one day he goes over and sees it has poked its head through the little top of the cocoon, which if you've ever seen is really kind of a cool thing to watch the animal come out. And so it starts to come out and he sees that it's struggling. It's got its head out just a little bit, but it can't get all the way out and it's fighting. So he gets some scissors and he cuts the cocoon open real quick so that the moth can get out. But it flounders to the ground. Can't fly. Because what the man didn't know is the struggle to squeeze through the cocoon forces the fluid out into the creature's wings, enabling it to fly. Freedom was only going to come after the struggle. By depriving the moth of the struggle, he deprived it of its ability to be free and to fly. He deprived it of health. Many times God works for our good through the tough parts of life, teaching us to rely on Him more and more and making us healthy through the struggle. Romans 8:28 is what we just read, but if you go on to Romans 8:29, it gives us the reason that we might see good things happen. It says that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. That is the goal of the struggle, of the good that God wants to do. You might be conformed to the image of Jesus. God is more concerned about your heart and it being healthy than the situations of your life on the outside. There are times where life is hard. There are times when we deal with struggle. There are times we have pain. But I think Joseph's life very clearly shows us a few things. We can, by faith, serve God even in the midst of that pain. We can trust that God will be faithful in those moments, that He will be with us, that He will walk alongside us. And though we might not see how, we can trust that God will work for our good through all of it. This might be one of those sermons for you which isn't too applicable right now. Maybe life feels really good. Maybe there's not a lot of struggle. Or maybe you're right in the middle of it. Either place you find yourself, if you're in the middle of struggle right now, I hope this is an encouragement to you to continue on, to persevere, to find ways to serve in the midst of the pain, to trust that God will be faithful in working through all of it. And if it's something that you need to jot down and say, that day in my life when it gets real hard, I'm going to go back and look at the life of Joseph and say, how do I move with God through this tough time of my life? How do I continue to serve Him and serve others? How do I trust that He is faithful, that He will work for my good? File it away in your memory banks. Pull it up when you need it. God is faithful. He is with you. He is working. You must learn to trust Him by faith.